Hey, once again, we thank God for blessing each and every one of us to be able to come out to the house of the Lord, to sing praises unto him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. I believe it was David that said, I was glad when they said, let us go up into the house of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this morning, it really doesn't matter what I say this morning or any other individual. The Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4 and verse 11. It says that if any man speak, let him speak as the articles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability that God giveth, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this morning, as we look at these passages of scripture that we will study from, the book of Revelation, and my subject is the Lord's Day. The book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 10. When John the Revelator said that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that's what we want to look at this morning, the passage of scriptures. What this day really means to us. And we will walk away this morning from the study of God's word with a deeper understanding on why we celebrate this day, why we come out and worship on the Lord's day. But before we go any further into this lesson this morning, we count this as a wonderful privilege that we all are able to pray to God. And not only just to pray to him, but we have the assurance that our prayers reaches all the way up into heaven where he is. So at this time, the one that has been appointed as this bow heads in prayer. I just want to say again, that my heart go out to those that have lost loved ones. Certainly, in my family as well. My first cousin, I just visited with him when my brother passed away in January. We had laughter and we shared with each other some of the things that we experienced when we were growing up together. And this was in January the 29th. And I get a call and yesterday that he had passed away. And so you see, the Bible teaches us in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20 and verse 3, it says that the soul, as God liveth and the soul liveth, David said, I am but one step from death. All of us in here this morning, we're no more than a heartbeat away from death. And so we thank God for this opportunity that we have, that he's given us today, that his grace is still shining upon us to make any correction that we need to make in this life, because we don't know when we will leave here. And I'll just say to the young people as well, don't take for granted because that you're young that you're going to be here a long time. That's no more than a lie of the devil, because life and death is in God's hand. And we want to make sure that when our time comes, that our calling and our election is sure, that we're on the right hand of God when that time comes. You know, I was just thinking, you know, how good God is. You know, some of us how good and great God is. Some of us in our homes have these big shower heads in our home. And we think sometimes that that's grandiose. But as we were coming here this morning, I'm traveling 70 miles per hour for an hour. And when God turns on his shower head, we can't outrun it. That's how great God is. God is good and he's great. And brothers and sisters, this morning we just want to look at these passages of scripture this morning on the Lord's Day. What it really means to us. And I just want to say to those that are visiting this morning that maybe coming from a different faith, we want you to know, first of all, that you're welcome to the house of the Lord. And if something should be said from the pulpit this morning that is different than where you worship, by all means, bring it to my attention or someone else, that we may look into the Word of God and study those things in the Word of God. Because we know one thing, that the Bible is right. Doesn't matter what I say or any individual. We know that God's Word is true. And those are the things we're going to look at this morning. I just want to raise a few questions this morning. Some of the things that I'm quite sure that we've heard along the way. I want to raise these questions, and then we will look into God's Word for the answer. Is that when did the New Testament become a force? And we find that in the book of Acts chapter 2 and 38. That's question number one. Two is, does the Bible, the New Testament, show in the New Testament where Christians, the New Testament Christians, are to keep the Sabbath day? Do we see that in the Scriptures and the New Testament, that we as Christians are to keep the Sabbath day? Are we commanded to keep that day? And three is, did Paul say that the law, including the Sabbath day, was nailed to the cross, according to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, and we'll look at verse 15 sometime. And number four is what is the penalty for breaking the seven-day Sabbath? What is the penalty for breaking the Sabbath day? And five, those that keep the Sabbath day, do they stone those who break that day, the Sabbath day? But the Bible tells us, according to the law of the old Mosaic law, is that anyone that broke the Sabbath day died. We find that in the book of Exodus chapter 31. We look at that right quick. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 14. And we see that this is what that law commanded. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 14 and 15. Notice what the Bible says. Well, let me start with verse 12. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath, and notice that the Bible used Sabbath plural. And some people may say, well, you know, that shows that there's more than one Sabbath. But notice in the next sentence here, the Bible says, for it. So now God singularizes it. He said, for it is a sign between me and you is speaking of Israel throughout your generation, that ye may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. And verse 14 says, ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever does any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among the people. And this was the law during the Mosaic period. If they are keeping that same law, people that say they keep the Sabbath, them that break it, the Bible says, shall be stoned to death. If they're going to keep the Sabbath, that was the law. Number six was that engraving on stone, the commandments, the ministration of death. And that's what it was called. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. Engraven on stones. When Paul says that it is the administration of death, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. And we'll see that also in verse 11 as well. That which was engraven on stone. And number 7. Were the Egyptians, the Hittites, the Amorites, were they commanded to keep the Sabbath? And these were other nations other than Israel that live and exist at the same time as the Israelites during the Mosaic Law. They exist during those times, other nation of people. Were they commanded to keep the Sabbath? In 8, was not the Sabbath day, the 7-day Sabbath, the first of all the ceremonial law? And the word is ceremonial, what we want to underline this morning. Was it the first of all the ceremonial law? And we will look at the Bible this morning and listen for the answers of those questions. The New Testament teaches, the New Testament Christian, that this is a day, the first day of the week, the Lord's day, that has been set aside by God for us. Now, all week, we serve God. All week. But this day was set aside that we come together collectively and we do something on this day that we do on no other day. Is the Lord's day. Is that we worship God in spirit and in truth through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We do something on this day that we do no other day. And what I mean by the Bible teach is that the Holy Scripture, I'm speaking of the Bible teaches us in three different ways. It teaches us by direct command, is number one. Number two, it teaches us by necessary inference. And three, is by approved examples. Those are the three ways that the Bible teaches us. Now, when it comes to the Lord's Day, if you look into the Greek, you'll find that in the Greek language that the Lord Day is actually new in the Greek. You'll find the reference in the Greek is Kyriakos, which is derived from Kyrios, which means the Lord, things that pertains to the Lord. It is fairly new in the Greek language, the Lord's Day. It's mentioned twice. It mentioned, the Greek mentions Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, when John says that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And the Greek language is also in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. It mentions the Lord's Supper that pertains to Jesus in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20. And we find out that the Bible is also divided into different dispensations. Number one, we find that the Bible speaks of the patriarchal dispensation, which was of Adam unto Moses. And we find that in the book of Romans, chapter 5, and verse 12. It speaks that that time lasted, the patriarchal dispensation lasted from Adam to Moses. And then we'll find that, that also the Mosaic dispensation, which ranged from Moses unto Jesus, the Mosaic dispensation. And now we find that the Christian dispensation, it starts with Jesus until the end of time. There will not be another dispensation. The Christian dispensation is from Jesus on through eternity. And brothers and sisters and friends this morning, we need to understand this morning that the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the Lord of this dispensation. How do I know that? I know that because God made him. God the Father made Jesus the Lord of this dispensation. And we'll find this in the book of Acts. Let us turn to the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Notice what the Bible teach here. Shows that God made Jesus the Lord of this dispensation. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. The Bible says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Savior. So God the Father made Jesus Christ the Lord of this dispensation. And the Bible also teaches us that even before Jesus came into the world, the Son of David saw this in prophecy. And I want us to look at the book of Psalms chapter 110 and see what David teaches here. Psalm 110, and we'll look at verse 1. Psalm 110 and verse 1. Notice what David said. He said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemy thy footstool. David saw this in prophecy, even before Jesus came into the world. I want us to notice something here. The Lord's Day. Now God is working this out. That's where he said, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. God was working something out. In the book of, and I'm just going to give these passages of Scripture, those that are taking notes that you can write them down. In these passages of Scripture, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29, it is referred to the body of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 29 is referred to the body of Jesus. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 27, it is referred to as the cup of the Lord. That's referred to Jesus. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, it says the Lord's death. That is also referred to Jesus Christ, the Lord's death. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 21, it says the Lord's Supper. That is also referred to Jesus Christ, the things that pertain to Jesus. And when John said that in Revelation 1 and 10, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is also referring to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at those passages of scriptures, and you see that all of those references that I just gave refers to Jesus Christ, then why can't men and women look at this day and not know that this day refers to Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord's day? Why can't men see that? This day is the Lord's day, that we come out and worship Him. As we look into these passages of Scripture here, the first day of the week belongs to Christ. It's the first day of the week, not the last day of the week, but the first day of the week belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, the 7-day Sabbath commemorated the great work of the Father, God the Father. The Sabbath day, the 7-day Sabbath, commemorated that day. This was a day that God ended His work when He created the earth. And the Bible says that on the 7th day He rested. Brothers and sisters, that was a great work. That was a great work that God had performed when He made the earth. He created the earth. Was God's, one of God's greatest work. You look around at this universe and you see all the beauty. And God did that for us. He made it for us. And the Bible says He rests on that day. God's second greatest work is when He delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt from Egyptian bondage. That was another great work that God had done, when He delivered His children out of bondage. And I want us to remember something here. I want us to remember deliverance and redemption. Deliverance and redemption. That was a great work. And you think about this. When God performed all of these great works in Egypt, you remember that the plague that God put on the Egyptians. 12 plagues to bring His children out of Egyptian bondage. And I heard a brother talk about this. One of the plagues that God put on the Egyptians was the plague of frogs. You think about this. You find this in the book of Exodus chapter 8, and you'll see what I'm talking about, is that God put this plague of frogs on those children in Egypt, and the Bible says that the frogs covered the land. Frogs. Everywhere that you look, you saw frogs. If you got ready to go to bed and you pulled back the cover, there was a frog there. If you got ready to cook, and you pulled the top from the pot, you had frogs everywhere. And Pharaoh called Moses because he knew that this was coming from the God that Moses served. He said, Moses, entreat your God and tell him to cause these frogs to go away. I'm going to show you how that sometimes people think, and the way they think when they don't have the knowledge of God. He asked Moses to do this. Moses asked him, well, when do you want the frogs to go away? With all of those frogs, you would think that Pharaoh would say, right now, immediately, have them go away. You know what Pharaoh said? Tomorrow. Make them go away tomorrow. As if he wanted to spend another day with the frogs. That's going to show you how some people think when they don't have the knowledge of God and how they digest things. But we're going to understand something this morning that the Bible teaches us in the book of Exodus, chapter 31. And we look at this again, the book of Exodus, chapter 31. And we look at verse, starting at verse 12. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 12. It says that, and Moses spake unto the, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath shall ye keep. I just want to notice something. Notice this again now. The Bible says that, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation. In other words, this was a sign between God and fleshly Israel. Because God had delivered them out of bondage, and this was a sign for them. It's to remember what God had done for them. That was a sign. And you know why we don't keep the Sabbath? The New Testament Christians? It's because God did not deliver us out of Egyptian bondage. That was between Israel and God. It was a sign between God and Israel. And that's why we don't keep the Sabbath. God didn't deliver us out of Egyptian bondage. But we were delivered. And we're going to look into this. We were delivered, but we weren't delivered out of Egyptian bondage. Therefore, that's why we don't keep it. Now, in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says that those that despise Moses' law died without mercy, according to two or three witnesses. They died without mercy. You and I today, we have mercy. God has given us that through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have mercy. I want to look at the book of Colossians, and we'll look at a few passages of Scripture, the Colossians chapter 2, and see what the Bible teaches. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 12. Notice The Bible says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. And this where it take place in the operation of God, our new life. It says, whom have raised him from the dead. He said, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And the Bible says in verse 14, and says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, what was against us? It was grace. We didn't have grace. We had some grace, but not like the grace that was shown in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The old law was blocking that grace. It was mercy. We have mercy now. We saw that if you broke that law, the old law, the Mosaic law, you died. The Bible says in Hebrew 10 and 28, you died under two or three witnesses. But now we have grace and we have mercy. I want us to notice something else. I want us to go back to the book of Psalms, and we look at the book of Psalms, chapter, I believe, 118. And we look at a passage of scripture there, Psalm 118, and I believe verse 22 is what we will look at here. The book of Psalms, chapter 118 and verse 22. Notice what the Bible teaches. David talked about this in prophecy. Notice what he says. He said, the stone which the builders refuse is become the head stone of the corner. Notice what it says now. The stone which the builder refused is become the head stone of the corner. He says that this is the Lord's doing. In other words, the Lord was working something out. The Lord worked this out. David said, this is the Lord's doing. He said, it is marvelous in our eyes. In verse 24, he said, this day which the Lord have made, he said, we will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord's day. That day of redemption that Jesus Christ brought us. This is the Lord's day that we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. If you remember when they crucified Jesus, he was in the grave on the Sabbath day. He was in the grave. That was a day of sorrow. That was a day of mourning. But when he rose from the grave on the first day of the week, that was a day of rejoicing. The Christians were rejoicing. The Lord has risen. The Lord's day. That's what this day means to us. And a lot of people don't understand this day. I know they don't understand it because I see them out mowing their lawn and cutting their grass and they're going to the beach. They don't understand this day. The Lord's day that was created for us. And the Bible says we will rejoice and be glad in it. I want us to notice another passage of scripture here. I know that, you see, We say this and because we operate under this calendar now. And the calendar that we operate under, it gives us these days as Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. This is the day that we operate under. And that was introduced to a lot of people by Pope Gregory the 13th introduce this calendar. You don't see anything about the Lord's Day. They said Sunday, Monday. And I think that's so easily for some people to lose sight of this day here, the Lord's Day. And even before there was a Catholic, it was the Lord's Day. Someone said, well, where do you find that history? Acts chapter 2. That's where we find it. Even before the Catholic, this was the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. And that's what has confused a lot of people concerning this day, on what this day really means, the Lord's Day. Let me go a little further here, and we will come to the conclusion of the lesson. I want us to look at the book of 1 Colossians again. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll look at verse 12. The book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. As I noticed, said earlier that we were delivered. Not from Egyptian bondage, but we were also delivered. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, given thanks unto Father, which hath made us meek to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Brothers and sisters and friends, we were delivered from sin, from the power in the darkness of sin. That's where we were, and God delivered us from that in his Son, Jesus Christ. And set this day aside, the Lord's Day, that we come together and we remember and we celebrate that great work that was performed. And I tell you something else. And we'll look at the book of Acts chapter 4. Notice Acts chapter 4. We'll look at these passages of scripture, and I'll give you one more, and we come to the conclusion of the lesson. Acts chapter 4 and verse 9. Acts chapter 4 and verse 9. Notice the Bible says that. And just Peter, he says, if we this day be examined of the good deed done in the impotent man, by what means he is made whole? Peter said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, God has raised from the dead. Even by him does this man stand here before you whole. Notice what he said in verse 11. You know, we talked about that stone over in Psalms that was refused. In other words, God teaches us through David that Jesus Christ's own people refused him. But God was working something out. He was making Jesus the chief cornerstone, in which is he is the cornerstone of the church today. He is the main stone that holds the church up today, Jesus Christ. And Peter says that in verse 11, he says, this is the stone. You know, David talked about this in prophecy, in the book of Psalms. And Peter says, this is the stone in verse 11, which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. And let me just say this in verse 12. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. There is no other name under heaven that God has given unto men, whereby we must be saved, than the name Jesus Christ. And that's why we have the name, the Church of Christ, because that's who it is. You think all these names out here, and the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other way. There's no other name whereby we must be saved other than the name Jesus Christ. If there's no other name, then why would you want to wear some other name if we only have one name that God has given us, is the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Why would a person want to wear another name when the Bible says there's only one name that God has given us? And that's the name Jesus Christ, whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. I want to tell you something else, brothers and sisters. And we'll find this in the book of 2 Corinthians. I come to the conclusion of the lesson. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17, Jesus performed a work like no other work has ever been done. We talked about the two great works that God performed. Then Jesus performed this one. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says that, therefore, if anyone in Christ is in Christ, the King James said new creature. The NIV said is a new creation. That's what the NIV says. If anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. And that's what Jesus did. When he died upon the cross and resurrected from the grave and declared that all power was in his hand, both heaven and earth, he created us all over again, a new creation. And a lot of people don't understand that creation. We have been made new. We all knew. In that creation that Jesus Christ performed in the watery grave of baptism, he gives us a new heart, a new mind. We've all been made new again. And that's a new creation. And this day, the Lord's day, that we're to come together and we remember that debt that Jesus paid for us and all the wonderful works that he paid for us on the Lord's Day. Hopefully something from this lesson this morning will help us to understand what this day really means. When John said that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And brothers and sisters and friends this morning, if you're not in the church that Christ built, you need to be. You need to be in the church that we can find in the Bible. Because if we're not in the church that we can find in the Bible, we are under some other man-made laws. And we're dictated by some other man-made rules. The Bible tells us that how we get in the body of Christ, how we become a member of the Church of Christ, you just can't say, well, you know, I want just to attach myself to this congregation. We can't do that. That's what the world does. They say, come by the right-hand fellowship. Come by your Christian experience. You can't do that in the church. You have to be born into the church and become a member of the Church of Christ. And the Bible said, this is how it's done. First, we have to hear. We find that in the book of Mark, chapter 12, and verse 29 and 30. The Bible says, the first of all of the commandments is to hear, O Israel, that our Lord God is just one. Now, most people will agree with that. They agree that, yeah, there's only one God. The Bible says that we are to love Him with all of our heart, all of our might, all of our strength, and all of our mind. It said, this is the first of all the commandments, is that we have to hear. And after hearing it, the Bible teaches us that we must believe it. We must believe God's word. You know, as I said earlier, it doesn't matter what I say or any other individual. What matters is what the Lord has to say about it. In the book of St. John, chapter 8 and verse 24, Jesus says, I tell you, nay, except you believe that I am He. He said, you will die in your sins. In verse 21 of that same passage of Scripture, and Jesus says, I tell you, nay, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So we have to make sure that our calling is sure. We have to make sure that we do it like God said, do it. And after hearing and believing, we must repent. Luke 13 and 3 say, I'll tell you, nay, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And repentance is no more than a change of mind, a change of heart. If we have been we have been believing something that we've been taught from our childhood or someone else taught us, and we find out by looking into God's word that is wrong, we need to change. And Luke said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we have to change after hearing God's word and believing it, then we have to make that change. Repent. And after repentance comes the good confession. We don't have to confess all of the sins that we've committed. God already knows that. The good confession is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is the good confession. And we find that in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, if thou would confess that the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has raised Him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. It tells us that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have to make that good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And someone asked a question once, is that what if I hear, believe, repent, and confess? Will God save me? The question is no. You've been converted, but we have to be buried in the watery grave of baptism to have our sins washed away. That's what we have to do. We have to have our sin. This is what the fifth step is. Baptism is what washes away our sins. And, you know, I tease Brother Tom about this sometime when we are talking. He was telling me that he got baptized when he was a baby. And I said, well, what kind of sin did you commit when you were a baby? You don't even know you're in the world. You see? We have to know why we are being baptized. Baptism is where we get our sins washed away. And the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's where we put Him on, is in the watery grave of baptism. It is God's plan of salvation for all mankind. What I just put on the board. Then as we continue in the newness of life, we stumble and fall and make mistakes. We're to repent of those sins, make the confession, ask the prayers of the righteous. If we've done something to shame the body of Christ, we're to ask for the prayers of the righteous. While we stand and sing the chosen selection, anyone subject to the gospel in any manner, may make the good confession.